Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies. So gather your virtual piggy bank and let's get started.
Hi, everyone. We are very, very excited to have today Ryan Fife of WorkChain with us. And he's joined us all the way from Panama. And welcome to Crypto Nights podcast, Ryan. Good to have you.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
We're very excited to have you. I have been reading up on WorkChain and couldn't wait for this episode. So very happy to have you. Why don't we kick it off by having you tell us about yourself and maybe your backstory about how things happened in WorkChain so far.
Sure. So I'm Ryan Fife, co-founder and CEO at WorkChain. WorkChain's mission is to make earning cryptocurrency possible for essentially any worker, anyone that receives a paycheck. We do that in kind of a unique way, which I can explain a bit later. Prior to WorkChain, I spent the last 10 years in Silicon Valley. I was the founder and CEO of a company called Humanity.com, or, you know, we were founded as Shift Planning. And Humanity deals with, it's a pseudo workforce management suite, but really predominant or a market leader in employee scheduling. And then around the employee scheduling, there's time and attendance. And we do basically everything but processing the payroll. So that's where I spent the last 10 years. Humanity grew to 150 people. We raised 12 million of venture capital along the way. Is used by around 40,000 business locations, Nike, Lyft, you know, a lot of big names. And what we've seen actually really interesting in Humanity in the past couple of years, and which really kind of ties into the WorkChain story, is the big shift in the labor market from, you know, salaried workers to on-demand or the gig economy. And, you know, in San Francisco, you can really order just about anything on demand. But the actual idea for WorkChain starts about 5 years before this, where with Humanity, we get the access to all of the data for time and attendance and, you know, even the forecasted data around the employee schedule. And so the idea that I had was really around, you know, does it make sense for an individual to be compensated for this 2 to 3 weeks later when, you know, we have a very accurate record of that individual's work through an application like ours? And so could there be an opportunity to, you know, either enable essentially real-time payroll or to go after the bigger payday lending space, which is very predatory. And so that's something that was sort of the initial seed for this. And then as Humanity sort of matured, the timing was right for me to step down on that side. And then with kind of the rise of the blockchain and blockchain technologies, really just felt the timing was right now to, you know, take that idea and put it into practice. So,
oh, congratulations. And are you located in Panama or are you just visiting there?
Yeah, so I'm full-time based in Panama now. It's kind of an interesting story. When I founded my last company, I was here as well. And then for the better part of the last 5 years, I've spent on an airplane and terminals more than at home. But, you know, was based out of San Francisco full-time. And then we have offices in Lahore, Pakistan, as well as Belgrade, Serbia. So very, you know, my passion is in distributed, you know, distributed environments or working in sort of a global sense. And so that was a unique part of our story early on at Humanity. And I guess we're replicating that now at WorkChain as well. But yep, Panama is my home base.
Oh, we share a lot in common because I have built most of my businesses as distributed teams as well. People have flexible times, different countries, different time zones, because today with technology, you don't need team in one location. And like you said, with the combination of technology and gig economy.
That's right. Yep.
The world is your oyster. So this is fantastic. So tell us the backstory behind WorkChain. How did it evolve? What are the use cases? And what were the before scenario suboptimalities that kind of made you think about this idea?
Yep. So again, with Humanity, we had all of the data for time and attendance and scheduling. So we started thinking through, you know, could we be in a position where we could essentially advance individuals the funds with a very accurate picture of an employee's, you know, essentially like a real-time credit score, because you have their historical shift data as well as their time and attendance data. So it's, you know, did somebody show up on time? Did they work 10 out of 10 shifts that they were scheduled for, as well as how many shifts are they forecasted for in the future? And generally, businesses schedule at least one payroll cycle in advance. So if you're on, you know, a biweekly schedule, the schedule is generally generated and locked in at least 2 to 3 weeks out. And there's actually a lot of interesting kind of protection laws in place now that are actually forcing businesses in different jurisdictions to have the schedule locked in. And once it's locked in, it can't change. And, you know, I think that's, you know, fundamentally fair for individuals to have an accurate picture and for their shifts not to be changed at the last moment. And that sort of stems into the way we view about payroll or payments is compensation should essentially happen the moment, you know, a smaller contract is finished. Like we all sign maybe a contract that gets us paid on a biweekly or a monthly basis. In the gig economy, you know, the contract is literally up the moment that you finish the ride or you deliver the groceries or whatever it is. So why wait 2 to 3 weeks for that payment when the business is holding on to those funds in the meantime? What's funny is as a kid, I grew up in Canada and I used to do a lot of odd jobs starting from when I was 8, 9 years old, shoveling sidewalks, mowing lawns. And generally after the job was done, I was getting paid for my work. You know, I had more financial freedom then than most workers do today, which is kind of an ironic way to look at things.
Got it. So it's that ability to get paid sooner, you know, because I remember when my wife and I started our first venture over 2 decades ago, we did this embedded systems. Intel used to have this strong arm processor and we would do embedded systems development out of India. And all our clients would be calling it Net 30. The first time I heard, what is Net 30? You know, yep. I would say, well, after you finish your work, we have 30 days of time before we can pay you. I said, 30 days? I remember the first time thinking, why would you take so much time, you know? So for whatever reasons, but largely they wanted to hold on to their money as long as they could before they paid us. It's a real reason. So I'm very happy. I wish you were here helping us out 2 decades ago, but I'm glad you're doing it now. So can you give us a few examples, use cases where this is applicable, and who is your target clientele?
Sure. So in terms of, you know, what does this look like today? So, you know, especially using or for my background, individuals are getting scheduled on shifts. So, you know, from the hourly workforce perspective, you're getting scheduled on a shift. When you show up to work, you're clocking in, you clock out, your hours are approved. And then those, you know, timesheets are used 2 weeks later, sort of after the cutoff date. Maybe it's not net 30, but it might be net 7 or something like that. Those hours then go to generate your payroll cycle. Your payments. And so really what we're trying to do now is the moment you're like, you know, you still work the same job, you still clock in, you clock out, the work still has to get done. But once your timesheets are verified now, we want to immediately send those records or pull those records from whatever the system of record is. So we view those as proof of work apps. And once that work is verified, we want to send those to the work chain and then initiate a real-time payment to you to make those funds available for you. And so we'll be working with integration partners predominantly as our go-to-market. And one of the things that we're exploring now, integrations like Humanity or other time and attendance and payroll applications will help drive that. You know, everything really works the same for them and they become a very key, stakeholder in the WorkChain platform. So what we're really trying to build, I guess, is like a community or a protocol from that sense where that's one of the key stakeholders. And so nothing has to change from that perspective. Even from an individual, you know, from the employer perspective, they can still process payroll the same way that they always have. Long term, we view that, you know, the employer itself will benefit from being on the network. And this is a huge value add to their employees, like a social benefit. And so we believe that, you know, over time, they'll also want to adopt there. So there's actually no need to then advance them the funds. We just are essentially pulling. Or the smart contracts, really, you know, WorkChain as an application actually isn't a money transmitter here. It's really just the smart contracts that are pulling funds after work's verified from the employer's wallet to then the employee's wallet. And some of the stuff that we're seeing now, we're going to do our first test transaction next week to kind of show what this looks like in real time. And so you can imagine different scenarios where from the shift worker or let's say contract labor, you know, you can have that accurate verification of time immediately when that shift is verified. And then for other types of, you know, salaried employees, for example, it's really just a time-based calculation. You know, if you're getting paid at the end of the month and you're on a monthly salary, we can release those funds every day to you with a lot of certainty because even, you know, the biggest risk, I guess, would be that your employment is terminated or things like that. Every jurisdiction I've ever worked in, you know, there's generally some type of severance, and there's never a situation where I've seen where you're able to retroactively reclaim earnings from an individual. So I think, again, it's like this ecosystem can operate with a very high level of confidence and low default rates. And then lastly, on the go-to-market side, one thing that we're working on now is, you know, when we talk about cryptocurrency payments, a lot of people freak out. They're like, you know, I would never want to get paid in Bitcoin or Ethereum. Maybe some of like the diehards like us, the believers, we would be willing to receive that and sort of gamble with our paycheck moving up and down 10% on a daily basis. For, I think, the average worker, that would freak them out. So when we say cryptocurrency, we're talking about stable coins. And if anyone doesn't know what a stable coin is, that's essentially, you know, a token that is pegged to fiat. So, you know, one token would equal one US dollar or one euro. And so there, you know, those tokens aren't fluctuating at all. And there's a lot of big players in the space. The one that we're looking at adopting initially is called TrueUSD. They've got a really unique model for, you know, doing the verification of funds and the audits to ensure that the tokens are actually backed by the dollar. Unlike Tether, we're a little bit scared of the shenanigans that they're up to. So I think, so that's, again, the situation on that side. But you can imagine through our system, literally anything can pass through it. And so just last week, we saw in the news that Binance is actually paying 90% of their staff in Binance tokens. And so that's, again, kind of a fantastic use case for us. Like, could we, on our way to go to market in the traditional sense, could we become maybe the de facto payroll provider for crypto companies that are paying their staff in their own cryptocurrency? So that's something interesting for us to explore. And then the other thing that we're really actively exploring are going to be partnerships with the on-demand types of companies. Some of the bigger ones, like Uber, have actually built out their own flexible payment solutions for businesses. It's our belief that, you know, the next 99 on-demand companies aren't going to build their own solution and would love to have a technology partner like ours. And ultimately, you know, from what I've seen in that space is that a lot of times workers are picking up extra shifts, driving extra hours because they really need those funds now. And so that'll become a very, you know, that'll become a competitive advantage or just something that the gig economy expects. As sort of like a standard in the not too distant future.
Yeah. And there are variations of that you can get into down the road, which is you pay them almost like this payday loans, right? You're kind of paying them instantly on the same day, and you collect from an Uber later on when they pay and whenever that is. And maybe you collect a 1% or something, which people might be willing to pay. So I love the idea, generally speaking, and I like the fact that you are essentially a two-token system. You have that's what you call it, right? What is your token?
Workchain access or application token, what? Yeah.
Well,
the base unit of power.
That's what I read it as, and I loved it. So what is your token, and which I presume is a way to get into your ecosystem and do a bunch of things in addition to having your smart chains work on verifying that you have certain number of watts and do certain kinds of things. But the actual payroll is happening in the form of stable coins, TrueUSD, as you recommended. But I don't think are you tied into them, or is it possible that you could anytime switch to any other stable coin of choice down the road or add on?
Yeah. In theory, our smart contracts will essentially be agnostic to that. It's really just that agreement that happens between the employee and the employer. Those funds are then living in their wallets and just moving between them. And so that's the really unique thing about this from that perspective. And then the other part is, you know, it's like through Shapeshift and other things, it's very easy to convert that into other things immediately. Which is exciting for us because what we really want to do is show that there's real world utility in this immediately today. And so, for example, if there's not today a true USD backed crypto credit card or a bank card that you can use right now, that's something that we're actively exploring. But there's a lot of them out there that supports, for example, Bitcoin or Ethereum. So if you did want to spend your cash today with today's existing technology and infrastructure, you know, you could convert those funds from TrueUSD into Bitcoin and then immediately spend those Bitcoin or pull them out at a Bitcoin ATM, for example.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I'm looking at it as multiple layers. So there are, if I am a worker, first of all, I'm imagining I have some kind of a time tracking system, and that is plugged into, maybe I'm with a temp agency, maybe I'm with Upwork, maybe I'm working with indirectly through Humanity, doesn't matter. So you are tied into these so-called, you did not use the word aggregator. What did you use?
We call them proof of work applications. Okay. They're validators, I guess, in that sense, maybe in a more correct term.
Yeah. So you have, but from a business angle, you're looking at multiple of these aggregators of quote unquote workers, which are giving you access to, okay, this is the time and this is the dollars per time. And then this is what they need to get paid, except you're now able to pay them much more frequently. Like you said, I finished the Uber ride, I've paid him, I got out, it's over. The game is over. There is nothing pending, and which is the way it should be, perhaps, at least in the future economy that you're envisioning. So what is the benefit to the payer? I understand that as a worker, I'm benefiting from getting paid faster, sooner, blah, blah, blah. But as a company, what are the benefits?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think, like you mentioned earlier on the interview, there is a lot of reasons why businesses still want to hold on to these funds. Maybe it's to do with the timing of their expenses, their payments. It takes them time to like process or other things in the traditional sense. I think the biggest benefit that we're going to see is sort of the social impact or the social benefit that employees are going to start demanding this more and just expecting it as, you know, a baseline thing, or they'll start again choosing the employer that offers this as a service or doesn't. And you can, you know, take this, we dealt with this a little bit at Humanity where, you know, if an individual employee, for example, wants to come up with a house deposit, are you willing to lend them those funds in advance and deduct it from payroll? That's like another example more on the micro lending side. And so I think I'm hearing that a lot actually in Panama locally, there is like a local mandate that allows businesses to do this. Essentially this like micro lending, they need to have a small license with the government, something that most businesses can afford as sort of like a deposit. And then they can go after this as well, which is like a really interesting thing to think about. Longer term though, you know, when we say real-time payroll on the blockchain, we're not actually talking about having the like, you know, meat and bones or the middle part of payroll processing or calculations on the blockchain. We're really, you know, interested in getting the inputs, which is your net payments. And then we want to deal with the output and just moving the funds between those parties, in terms of, you know, allowing you to spend those or withdraw them to your bank account, et cetera. Longer term, though, I do think we will see more transparency in the actual calculation components, and a network like Humanity, or sorry, like WorkChain would have the opportunity to actually displace maybe traditional payroll with a system that is a lot more efficient, something that's real time, something that could even be free for the employer to operate, because the network effects or the benefits to the network for having them there will make up for the traditional, you know, SaaS recurring revenues that they would generally receive. So that's sort of an interesting thing to think about down the road. But again, that's not a near-term focus for us. We want to really interoperate with the existing system while we take this to market, because payroll is incredibly complex, and primarily just because it's so fragmented. Like if you only had to deal with California, you know, rules, which I know fairly well, if you only had to deal with those and that was the same globally, that would be fine. They're complex, but you deal with them once. But really, every jurisdiction has their own unique rules. So it becomes a very complex problem to solve the first time, and then also stay on top of them, because the regulations are always changing, minimum wage, overtime, all this type of stuff.
I understand. Yeah, so that's what makes it interesting and exciting as well. So in other words, what you're saying is the writing is on the wall, guys. Whether you like it or not, the gig economy is here and people expect to get paid sooner. And if you're going to get onto the bandwagon, at least people will see you as a benign payer and you'll get a strategic differentiation there. Hopefully people will like you more. So that seems to be the argument, and I can take that. I can accept that. So technology-wise, so tell me a little bit about You've been around for about a year now, I believe. So where is the team located? Who has funded it so far? And how are you planning to take this forward? I'm now talking about the inside view of the business of Workchain.
Yep. So the business started, well, the year started, I guess, 5 or 6 years ago. The actual business in terms of, you know, building a team and funding stuff started about a year ago. I initially, you know, kind of co-founded the project, and it was like an investment of mine. I was still full-time working at Humanity at the time. And then it was just about 3 months ago or 2 months ago that I announced that I'll be stepping down as the CEO of Humanity and then moving over here to join the project Workchain. So we've been working on it for a year. We've focused, again, really on bringing the product to market, or showing that we could build product and that there was a real tangible idea here, which I guess is sort of like anti-ICO or anti-crypto in that sense, where most projects are out with their marketing website trying to raise funds before they've built any product at all. We really viewed it as important for a number of reasons, I guess, to deliver on the product. So the first product that we've launched is called WorkID. That's, you know, an immutable CV. So imagine your LinkedIn profile backed by the blockchain. And by that, I mean we're storing hashes of work records on the blockchain, which gives sort of an interesting view into the changes that people make on their profile or their resumes over time. So as a recruiter, for example, you could look at an individual's profile and know that, you know, their start date and end date or different things changed along the way. And this we view as like a proof of concept to show that there's real world utility in the blockchain today, that this isn't, you know, a fully decentralized application, but there's a way to make these, you know, we call it like a hybrid application, to just leverage what's needed about the blockchain. You know, I see every day I look online and I see like 1,000 new blockchain projects that are trying to decentralize everything. I really don't believe everything needs to be decentralized. And so it's, you know, what are the good things about the blockchain? How can they interoperate with systems that are available today? And so that's the approach we took with WorkID. Now, the cool thing with WorkID is it really sets the foundation for our core product, WorkPay. So this is, you know, the blockchain-based payroll that we've been talking about. And WorkPay is built on top of WorkID as the foundation. So these work records that we're talking about, they come in and they get fed into your WorkID or within your WorkID as work records that we then execute a payment out on top of those. So we launched WorkID a few months ago. We've had 40,000 users sign up for one since then. So we're very proud of that. And then we're just working now on getting our first kind of test transactions ready for WorkPay. And later this year, we'll be integrating with, time and attendance applications like Humanity. And then the goal is to be able to execute sort of our first pilot, WorkPay transactions before the end of the year.
How did you get 40,000 users on WorkID? Because it's really not a fully functional product yet, right?
Today's working world is fast-paced, on-demand, and in real time. But slow payroll cycles continue to leave employees unpaid for weeks. Workchain.io is an innovative, automated payroll solution that uses blockchain technology to give you access to your earnings the moment you clock out, not weeks later. Workchain.io app tokens power the platform, enabling instant, real-time cryptocurrency payouts. Soon, Workchain.io app tokens will be in the hands of millions of employees through integrations with Humanity and WorkPulse, with more integration partners on the way. We've spent decades building market-leading technologies that already empower millions of employees. And now, we're creating the future of payroll. Workchain.io. Why wait to get paid?
Sorry, WorkID is a fully functional product. Anyone listening can go to our website and sign up for that today. WorkID is really built around the premise of, you know, you import your LinkedIn profile as a proof of concept. So it's very easy to get set up and going. You can log in with Facebook or a number of other social providers, for example. And the way we got users was really through the crypto community. I think the crypto community is very fantastic. It's a very, I'm having to rethink so many of the things on how I think through marketing or even just how I think through product implementation, because the blockchain is very different. The crypto community is very different. So we have, a number of user incentivization programs going on. And so that's an example of where individuals can earn Watt tokens through actions on our platform. And that'll be a big part of our go-to-market as well, both on the user side. So individual employees, you know, set up your work ID and you can gain free Watt tokens, which are our user membership to access our platform. And then on the business side, especially for companies or for employers, or sorry, through integration partners, can we incentivize them to join also by leveraging our tokens so that they can immediately have access to the platform with incentives to be there to provide that benefit to their ecosystem as well. So I think that's, you know, if we think through what's happened in the broader crypto space, it's pretty phenomenal. Like, I wouldn't have ever imagined this was going to be the case a few years ago, where you're kind of creating these tokens in theory out of thin air. And then you can go ahead and leverage them in different ways to help kind of, you know, jumpstart a business that would traditionally take, you know, several years to do in a much faster way. And I heard this on one of your last shows as well, where you were talking about, you know, the amount of funds needed to build this thing. And the timelines are just super compressed, where, you know, what would have taken 5 years is now taking 12 months or less. So it's very interesting times. I'm excited to be a part of this space.
It's a highly connected space. Many people are not getting the fact that blockchain is not a technology construct. It is a community construct.
So, that's right.
And it's an ecosystem. So it's, you're right. We have to really rethink the laws of marketing as we knew it. That's why I always ask the question. So did you guys do a combination of AirDrop plus Telegram, or what did you guys do?
Yeah, we call it our user incentivization program, which enables us to track different users' activities. And the reason, you know, we didn't do a traditional AirDrop in the sense, or even some of the bounty programs are pretty interesting. You know, we're trying to build the future of technology, and yet bounty programs are managed by individuals and spreadsheets. It's like, you know, two things don't add up here. So we, you know, that's another part of the product that we built. And one of the core reasons why we invested a lot of time in building the product itself was because, again, we view this not as, you know, generate hype now. I'm sure it helps drive user growth today, but really for tomorrow and for the long-term success of our business, we want to be able to incentivize users to do things that are going to actually benefit the actual utility of the platform. And so, you know, maybe today it's sign up, show us your work ID. But tomorrow it'll be, you know, sign up and then refer one of your coworkers to the product, or, you know, sign your business onto the product, or, you know, connect your bank account, or, you know, generate your first like payment transaction. So those are the types of things that, you know, we're super excited to have, you know, that program under our belt, because we think it'll help us not just in this phase of the project, but also for the long-term success.
Okay. I like that. So you said you're pretty close to releasing WorkPay now. When is that going to happen?
So we're gearing up to do our first test transaction next week.
Wow.
So that's pretty exciting for us. Wow. And the idea with what we're going to do is really show a demonstration of how this thing can work with today's technology, and really show people that this isn't a pipe dream. This isn't, you know, a 10 years out thing, because that's really the response we get from a lot of people we talk to. They're like, you know what, it's a cool idea, but we just don't see it happening. Or it's going to take 5 years, 10 years, whatnot. And so we really want to kind of break that myth, if you will, and show people that this can work today with today's technology. And then through future developments of, you know, our product and the ecosystem, it's only just going to keep getting better and better.
Wow. Okay. Got it. So what about future funding? How are you going to, because this is going to get bigger and it's going to consume more cash before it can generate cash. So two questions, maybe. One is fundraising. Second is, how do you make money with this?
Sure. Yeah, great question. So from the fundraising perspective, I think I mentioned we've been bootstrapped up until now. And that's something that we're very proud of in terms of not going down the traditional path, even though the market conditions for raising funds in the traditional ICO sense were a lot more favorable 6 months, 12 months ago. So maybe in hindsight, we should have raised then. But no, so I think, you know, we're happy to be where we are with real product to show, and we believe that the market will be ready for us. So we are going to go out and look for outside capital soon. Will we do a public ICO? We haven't made any announcement yet. Again, we're really interested in attracting the type of investors that believe in this as a long-term viability and not, you know, a quick pop and return from that perspective. So we're not looking at, you know, people that are trading at all. We're a utility token. We really want to use fundraising to kickstart our ecosystem. And so there's a few things that we need to accomplish that are going to be, you know, inherently expensive, especially if we start going down more the traditional payroll path or the lending path. There's a lot of, you know, bank licenses or lending type stuff that we'll need to apply for or, you know, to be able to invest or integrate and partner with established players in the space. So that's really how we're thinking through funding now. And, you know, kind of, I guess, where funding would be deployed. So revenue. So as a blockchain company, you know, we're really focused on the ecosystem itself. The things that we're thinking through, and I think you mentioned this, is there's a lot of opportunities to make sort of like microtransaction fees as payments are moving through the platform, especially if you're ever lending money. So, for example, you know, payday loans are extremely predatory. It might be 15% or 10%, but when you annualize that for a 2 to 3 week period, it's an exorbitant amount of funding. So if we can offer an alternative that's a few percentage and then share in that revenue with the lender, lenders on our platform are, you know, another party on the ecosystem. It doesn't necessarily have to be Workchain as an entity or a member of the platform that's actually lending those funds. So that's kind of a really innovative part. There's almost like a peer-to-peer aspect of it where you could be receiving your salary in real time and lending it out literally on the platform to your coworker who maybe needs that advance for an unexpected expense or different things like that. And so there's opportunities there. And then one of the opportunities we're really excited about is every time an individual consumer spends you know, money at a store on a credit card or a debit card, there's a transaction fee that the merchants pay. Generally, it's between 1% and 2%. And that fee is to cover things like chargebacks or processing and different things like that. And so as either the card issuer or an issuing partner, which is our hope down the road, you know, even fractions of a percent of that merchant fee, that's fractions on top of the entire amount that an individual consumer is spending. And so it doesn't take very long for that to become, you know, a very sizable revenue stream. And so that's, again, something that we're very excited about, sort of like this, these off-platform transactions. And it's really a hidden cost. Like when we say, you know, to an employee, we're not going to charge you anything to pay you in real time, they're not even going to know that we're generating these, because that's a fee. Again, like when you go to the store and something costs $10, you pay $10. You don't know that there's, you know, that 2% coming off from the business itself.
Yeah, that was a lawsuit with the credit card companies long ago. And the way the credit card companies came out of it is what was magical. They said, include the credit card price and call that the normal price. And if you don't, that's discounted. So that was a stroke of genius, which is really why we have what we have today. So when you're paying $10 for something, that's the normal price, you know, and not too many companies do that. Not too many retailers do that. But predominantly in Dallas, if I go to an Indian restaurant, they will tell you that, oh, $10 is a price. But if you pay with cash, we give 5% discount. And that's when you realize that, okay, this is the genius of credit card companies that's made them omnipresent, but also omnipotent. So yeah, you're absolutely right. So that's a hidden cost and nobody even knows that you're taking that small percentage. But that also brings up the challenge of the transaction fee that we have seen, CryptoKitties as an example. And it is no laughing matter, because the price of Ethereum transactions during CryptoKitties hypes was incredibly ridiculously high, which was totally anti to the reasons why we got into crypto, right? So what is your take on that? How are you handling that? What technology are you planning to use?
Yeah, so currently we are going to be built kind of natively on Ethereum. We're exploring a number of side-scaling solutions. One of my friends founded a company called Loom Network, which is a side-scaling solution for Ethereum. And so, you know what, the way we view this is, you're right. So today, you know, transactions on Ethereum are not as efficient as they need to be. But like it or not, Ethereum is still the number one platform for decentralized applications based on, you know, lion's share of attention, developers, all of that. Like the ecosystem itself is the most mature. And so it's not going to be ideal today, but this is again where I mentioned earlier, where it's just going to keep getting better. And, you know, we're going to be laser focused on building our payments product because we believe there's a lot of very, very smart people working on solving the scaling solution, the transaction costs, and all of that stuff on the technology side. The way we're kind of positioning things now is it'll essentially be agnostic, or it won't be impossible for us to switch between one platform or another. So today, you know, transaction fees that I'm seeing on Ethereum might be 20, 30 cents, for example. And so that's not cheap or free in terms of like what we really want to offer long term to consumers. But again, if you compare that to the fees that people are paying now, it's still a fraction of the cost. For example, we have an individual employee in Australia, and he was talking through the cost that it takes him to, you know, convert the bank fees from US dollar that we're paying out into Australian dollars. And, you know, he's paying approximately 10% on his overall salary each month just to make that happen. And so that's, again, where if you compare the fees now for getting paid or these 30 cent transaction fees, it all of a sudden still becomes incredibly competitive. Or if you compare it against payday lending, it's, again, extremely competitive. So it's not, we don't view those as barriers or blockers at this point. And it'll just keep getting better as, you know, economies of scale start working on our side in terms of like, you know, being maybe the providing more of the end-to-end solution, as well as the ecosystem matures and gets more efficient itself.
Yeah, that makes sense. And are you going to be a US-based company? Where are you going to be domiciled as a company?
We are proudly based in the Cayman Islands.
Okay.
One more distributed node. So yeah, I think you asked this question earlier. Our team is about 20 today. More than half of that's engineering, and we are essentially completely distributed. So I guess the way I'm describing it is we're trying to be decentralized as a team in the same way that the technology or value prop that we're providing as a service. So.
Yeah, but are you going to be operating in US with US companies?
We will. So the US will definitely be one of the first markets that we target. And so a lot of that comes back to my history with Humanity, where, you know, approximately 80% of our customers were based in the US. So it's still a big market from that perspective. But it's not, again, so from, I think maybe your next question will be, you know, how are you going to operate there with the regulations and different things? So don't want to put words in your mouth though.
So are you going to be a money servicing business in US then?
Yeah. So for short term, we're not planning to be, you know, long term, we might be, depending on kind of how the go to market works or what we see as the appetite in the market for partnerships and different things. I think we talked about this briefly. Our technology is really decentralized from that standpoint. Like the WorkPay will be a truly decentralized application where it's smart contracts moving the funds around or the value around from the employer to the employee or from the lender to the employee and then recouping it from the employer, et cetera. And so that all operates independently of us. It happens on the blockchain the same way that Bitcoin transactions or Ethereum transactions do. And so there really is no centralized money transmit or anything there. So that's, you know, the unique part about the model longer term. Shorter term, though, there will be, I think, the need to work with, you know, individual businesses that have already these licenses and different things in place. So again, they're leveraging our technology. They're the actual money transmitter, not WorkChain itself.
Yeah. I think one of your initial bowling pins or beachheads might be the being an anti-predatory lending type of a platform. I remember years ago when I made a business trip to the Philippines a couple of times, and predatory lending is very high in the Philippines, for example. So you might also find interesting pockets, depending upon your research, of where your initial traction is likely to be the highest. And that might be surprising if you did that kind of an analysis, is given that blockchain is so incredibly global, it defies reason. You know, what seemed normal before for business is anything but, you know. So just a thought there. Have you guys looked into that already, or do you plan to?
Yeah, we have. And so, you know, one of the kind of fundamental questions with any like a project that has or is, you know, blockchain based or has its own token is, you know, why blockchain? And so one of the really interesting things, some of the reasons we've talked to already, you know, the financial security that you're actually going to get paid for the work that you've delivered, that's a big part of it. There's also some really interesting things that people might not expect right away. And so some of that is, you know, this idea of like cross-border payments are all of a sudden now seamless. From that perspective, especially if you can go ahead and spend in your local or convert in a much more appealing way or low-cost way, sorry, than what, you know, the bank rates are. If you can convert between, you know, two stable coins on an online exchange, a crypto exchange, those rates will be significantly lower than the bank rates. So that's something we're really motivated about. And then from a rollout perspective, one of our advisors is very well connected and has a lot of experience working in the Caribbean. And that's, you know, an exciting opportunity for us where, you know, these islands unfortunately had a very hard time the last few years with hurricanes. And some of what their governments are actively trying to set up is, you know, adopting new technologies and becoming hubs for things like blockchain in a much more aggressive way than, you know, the US or other jurisdictions are. So we talk about it like, could it be possible to have a work pay island where the entire island is paid in real time in cryptocurrency, for example, where, you know, the barriers to entry and the appetite to adopt a solution like this is much, much higher. And there you sort of have the double windfall of, you know, the need to deploy capital in a faster way also because of some of the devastations that have happened recently. So that's motivating for us. And then another element is this idea of the unbanked. From the last things that I've read, there's approximately 2 billion people in the world that are still unbanked. And generally, if we look throughout history, what we've seen is, you know, there's an opportunity when you don't have any solution to actually leapfrog the best of what was in place yesterday. So in Africa, for example, there's a lot of really cool use cases where individuals are moving to, you know, mobile banking first before they would set up a traditional bank account, or they have other ways of like moving value around, which are like, you know, foreign to us in North America, for example. And so that's a big opportunity, I think, as well. Like, could individuals that don't have any bank account today, could they just have essentially financial services being provided through crypto from day one with kind of skipping the whole fiat system and the traditional banking system altogether?
Yeah, I see similarities. The fun thing about what you guys are doing is it is a for-profit business, but it has a social angle to it. Many of the things that you're talking about, being in favor of workers, them getting paid sooner, being more pro-worker, pro, you know, gig economy, also this anti-predatory lending. So there are a lot of angles to it that are socially oriented, right? Typically done by nonprofit organizations, etc. So that might be a marketing angle to you guys, for instance. You might say that, hey, you charge transaction fees to this class of organizations, but if you are supporting United Nations relief efforts in the Caribbean, for instance, after a hurricane, you might pay them and not charge a transaction fee, maybe, and thereby get some goodwill promotional type of, I don't know, I'm just thinking aloud here. And
no, I think it's a great idea. One of the things actually that I'm really proud of that we implemented at Humanity was we would give away our software to free for nonprofits or anytime there was a relief effort. So Humanity software was deployed Red Cross several times. We were part of the earthquake relief effort in New Zealand, situations like that. And so I think you're right. It's an opportunity to give back. Maybe these organizations might not have the funding to adopt the software on their own, but they're the ones that desperately need it the most to coordinate. And then, of course, there's the business benefit as well. You know, guess what? These volunteers also have day jobs, and if they found benefits in using our software for one thing, they're probably going to enjoy it in the other. But again, it's, you know, always fantastic to think of ways to give back. And I think, you know, the whole rise of the blockchain and the initial vision behind Bitcoin was really about, you know, libertarian movement. And I think that's what's so fantastic about the community is it feels like the seed was set and now, you know, despite all the regulations or other hurdles, it's not going away. And so if you give individuals the option between sort of similar service or same service, one that's decentralized, transparent, and fair, and one that isn't. I think we're going to see more and more people opting for the decentralized version.
Wow. Ryan, I could keep going on and on. This has been such a fascinating, absolutely, last half an hour, 40 minutes, whatever we have been talking. Are there other things that you wanted to communicate to the audience? Do you want to also direct them to some website where they can, I'm sure people are excited about this episode and they would want to get more information. So,
yeah, I appreciate that. And thank you so much for having me on the show. Maybe just closing words would be our application is live today. Individuals that are registered for Work ID today will be first in line for our next product, WorkPay. So if getting paid in real time is something that is exciting for you, would encourage you to check out our first application, Work ID. Again, that'll make you first in line for the next one.
Well, we wish you all the best. We are so happy to have you here. And all of you listeners, if you like this episode, head over to your iTunes or Google Play and rate us 5 stars. And please share this with your friends. Good luck.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Knights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptonights.io.